Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Rabbi Dovi Goldstein, he's the managing director of Kashrut at the UOS. And, you know, it's absolutely incredible that we have you on air. Good morning. How are you, Rabbi Dovi?
Morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me. And good morning to your listeners. And, you know, it's been a few days that I've already wanted to be with you on air.
Yes.
So that we can certainly share our side of the story and to set the record straight.
100%. So over the course of the last few days, I've spoken to at least 20 companies. One of the major complaints is that with the high fees from the Kashrut department, they just aren't getting the service. What is going on, Rabbi Dovi? Yes. What is going on?
I'd like to take a step back for a moment, Kathy.
Well, we haven't got a lot of time, so that's why I'm saying, sure, like, let's get in about the service.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to just take a step back because over the last 3 days, you know, we've had, I think, no less than 6 companies speaking on air and speaking about various issues, which they've all pegged to be about the financial issues.
Mm.
And I want to just absolutely confirm for our community, because our job is a community organization. We're a nonprofit organization that is here to serve the community. We exist to serve the community. We have a very faithful and very hardworking team that literally works day and night in order to ensure that more products can be kosher for the Jewish community. In fact, we live by the mission of more people eating more kosher, more often, for less cost. And what I've heard,
and yes, it's gone the other way. But it's gone the other way.
You'll get, absolutely. And what I've heard over the last few days, last 3 days, where we've been attacked on air, and I would like to address some of those points, specifically from the 6 callers that you've had over the last couple of days.
Oh, no, those are just the ones that wanted to go on air, Rabbi Dovi. Many other companies are very, very afraid to go on air because they think that they will lose their heksha. That is something else that we need to discuss, because that's hugely problematic, that people feel that speaking out against the Beth Din, you know, is going to threaten their heksha. The one thing doesn't have anything to do with the other. And that's hugely concerning. That's telling me that there is a real problem.
Yes, that is hugely concerning. And I would like to assure the community that, you know, I get emails directly from the community. I'm happy to take emails from the community and take, you know, communication to address that, because certainly there should be no fear.
Okay, lots of people saying that you don't return calls, don't return emails. So, you know, yeah, I'm playing devil's advocate right now, but I'm telling you what we've heard and what I've heard from companies that I've been speaking to. So
I welcome the community to email us and our team. And we certainly do our utmost to get back to our customers, to the community, to whoever wishes to engage. But I think it is very important, Kathy, as over the last 3 days, you know, people have come on air, and there's a common thread that between the various companies that have come on air, and that is compliance. And I want to explain what I mean.
Okay, so you're going to instead of actually giving us reasons and answering our questions as a community, you're going to rather attack the companies that spoke out. That speaks volumes. Rabbi Dovi, volumes.
Kathy, I think you should need to give me the chance to reply. And, you know, as
it's not about those companies, though. They're bigger issues that the community wants to know.
Kathy, I'm very happy to get into the issues that the community wants to know. And as I've offered you, I'm happy to come onto your show even weekly to discuss all the issues. But I do think it is our right to reply to the companies that have come on air and openly misled the community and spoken about us. And I do believe that we have the right to share our side and to set the record straight.
Let's talk about service, right? They're all saying that they're just not getting the service.
Yes, so I'd like to just start off that the common thread between all these companies that have come on air is compliance. And this started, as you're well aware, last Thursday with Honeyfields, where we issued an alert to the Jewish community on Thursday last week that Honeyfields is no longer kosher, certified. And the reason is because Honeyfields is in a contractual breach.
Okay, but
Honeyfields then issued a letter to the community on Friday morning saying that this is all about fees. We responded to Honeyfields and to the community because we do believe that the community has the right to a transparent opinion for them to see and make up their minds for themselves, that this has got nothing to do with fees. We have never taken away a kosher certification because of fees. Our mission is for more people to eat more kosher more often. And if we were to remove companies because of fees and to not assist companies because of fees, we'd have less products, and that's not our goal.
But that's what's happened, though, Rabbi Dovi. That's exactly what's happened. Even kosher products with overseas company, overseas kashrut hechshers that come into South Africa are not kosher here, but they're kosher overseas. For example, Patron.
Any reputable, so I can't comment on Patron, it was before my time. Mm. However, what I can comment on is that any company that comes to South Africa with a reputable hechsher that we stand by, and we are one of the highest reputable kosher organizations in the world. We're
used
a
to
member
be.
Of ECHO. No, we are a member.
Chai FM could be a member of ECHO. Do you know that? We could be, Chai FM could be a member of ECHO.
So Kathy, I don't think that is quite true.
I went and I investigated it.
That's fine. But ECHO is a kosher organization worldwide, which accepts about 150 kosher bodies. You have to meet a very strict and stringent set of criteria to become a member of ECHO. And out of the 1,500 certification bodies worldwide, only approximately 150 of the top hechshers, like the OU and the CRC.
Okay, so let me just stop you right there. They're very clear that being a member of ECHO is not an endorsement that you are a quality hechsher, and it is not a guarantee. It is not an endorsement at all. That's actually on their page. It is specified that being a member of ECHO doesn't mean anything. It just means that you are part of this body. They're not even a regulatory body. So I just need our listeners to know that.
I think I can confirm with you, Kathy, that there's a very stringent set of requirements that every ECHO member has to go through in order to become accredited with ECHO. And as I say, any reputable hechsher, which is a member of ECHO, we would certainly accept here in South Africa. And a case in point, Kathy, is just a few weeks ago, we signed a deal with Kosher Arabia in Dubai, where we are going to be the service provider together with the OU, the world's most recognized hechsher in the world. And we are going to be certifying a dual certification side by side with them in ensuring that kosher travelers through the Middle East will be able to receive kosher food with the BD Diamond, BD Kosher Diamond sign, as well as the OU Kosher next to it.
Yeah. A message coming through from Israel, from Philip. Morning, Philip. Nice to hear from you. He says, so Honeyfield's products on the shelf for a month are no longer kosher because of a contract. That's correct.
I'd like to go. So, I'd exactly like to go back. Thank
you. So is that
you.
True?
I appreciate the opportunity.
So is that true?
So as we said to you, that Honeyfields is a company that has been non-compliant. They came on as a kosher customer at the end of 2016. At the end of 2016, they were given a very subsidized rate, as was communicated to them. They appealed to us, and due to our fact that our mission is for more products to be kosher, they appealed that they were a small startup business and they would like kosher certification. This is the end of 2016. We quoted them a rate at the time, and they said they couldn't pay it. We therefore subsidized their rate to 7,500 rand, and we're very specific that as they grow as a company, as we believe in investing in startups and bringing more kosher products to market, we will we'll be renegotiating their fee. Through 2018 and 19, we left their fee as it was because times were difficult. However, we did constantly have non-compliance. And I want to explain to our listeners, because I think it's so important for our listeners to understand what we do as a kosher department.
Okay, but just hold on. Can you please just answer Philip's question? So Honeyfield's products that have been on the shelf for a month, are they no longer kosher now?
Any Honeyfield's products that are currently on the shelf are no longer kosher certified. And the reason for that is because we have to stand behind our compliance. We have a zero tolerance policy to any company that does not follow our kosher compliance model. And yes, it is a rigorous model. And the reason it's a rigorous model is because we wish to uphold the highest standard of kosher. Every single company has to provide us with ingredient forms of all their products and every ingredient. Someone like Honeyfield had 88 products, each with up to 20 ingredients. That's over 1,500 ingredients that have to be checked. Every company has to submit their labels to ensure that when their labels are printed, they have the right kosher status. Is it parav? Is it dairy? Honeyfield, on multiple occasions, breach this. Now, I want to explain that there are companies that make honest mistakes from time to time. And immediately, we engage with the company to rectify the situation. Most companies, in fact, in my 2.5 years leading the kosher, the BD kosher department, every company that we've dealt with has been very forthcoming and very cooperative in ensuring that the compliance standards are in place. Unfortunately, Honeyfields was uncooperative. They decided to ignore emails for months on end at times. There were times when they had multiple label issues where they said something was pyrav and it was really dairy. That is a real kashrut issue.
Okay, so is this about Honeyfields, Rabbah? Is this about Honeyfields or is this about coming in and just answering questions?
I think first and foremost, we do need the right to reply.
Okay, but you send out a letter. Everybody got your letter on Friday.
True, Kathy, but over the last 3 days, you've taken everyone's call, and I would like the opportunity to speak about all six of those calls. I believe our listeners and our community deserve to hear the real story and what is at the heart of this.
Because so what about the other companies? Okay, so what about the other companies that wouldn't come on air to talk about it because they fear losing their hechsherim?
Yes. Well, I can assure any company that kashrut for us is about transparency, and kashrut for us is about professionalism, and kashrut for us and our team is about integrity. And I welcome companies to send you questions that we'd be glad to answer over the coming weeks. I request from companies to send me and my team, and I'll be happy. I engage with our community that send us emails. We have a team dedicated to answering their questions and to answering their kosher questions, including a kosher WhatsApp line, and I absolutely encourage them to do so. But if we go to, for example, the next caller, which was Mr. Mallet, I think a day or two ago, and he had an issue that we wanted kosher certificates for his ingredients. So this is standard global practice internationally, that when a company applies for kosher, we ask for every ingredient. We need to know that every single ingredient, and he mentioned there that there were just two ingredients, milk. It was cream and milk. However, that is factually incorrect. He had 5 ingredients, which required, some of them required kosher certification coming from other countries, and we need to see and verify that the product and the ingredient which he's bringing in is indeed the product that has kosher certification from its source company. That is our job in kosher compliance. The anonymous caller that came on air a couple of days ago, which we went out of our way to assist, and I think very unfortunately what she didn't mention was it took her 2 months to get those certificates. And let me be very clear. Yes, it is her responsibility. Just like a restaurant that opens, Kathy, we don't supply them with their menu. We don't supply them with their design of their restaurant. That's their role. That's what makes them unique in the market. That's what is their USP, their unique selling point. We there to certify that every ingredient is kosher, that every process is kosher. We have highly trained inspectors that travel the breadth and width of Southern Africa. In fact, we even go as far as Sub-Saharan Africa and Mauritius to ensure that every single ingredient, Kathy, is scrutinized. Mm-hmm. We have a food scientist that looks at every single ingredient to ensure that it is indeed kosher certified or is group one and innocuous. And therefore, I think it is quite unfortunate that the anonymous caller that called in, her business came to a halt. We all feeling the pain of COVID. We all feeling the financial strain. South Africa's been in a decline for a number of years, which I don't have to inform our listeners. We all feeling it, and it's affecting every single one of us in many ways. But I think what's so important is she called us with a plea, and she said that her company is no longer able to supply. The restaurant changed as they had closed down in lockdown.
All right. So Rabbah Dovi,
let me just finish. Yeah. Kathy. And she wanted to move to the retail market. You know, but she said she doesn't have any money. We said to her, we'll give you a payment holiday. We'll give you a 50% discount. We'll let you pay it off over the entire year, which we have done. We said to her, we'll help market your product. Send us the marketing material. We'll gladly post that on Facebook. And, you know, just a month ago, she sent us an email to say thank you so much for all your assistance and all your service. So it is quite strange to me that you have companies coming on air, and many of them anonymous, as you say, but not really telling the true story. They have got grudges regarding compliance, and the difficulty of getting our certification. It's never about price, Gabby. It's about us upholding and having a zero tolerance policy to non-compliance.
Okay, so lots and lots of questions coming in. Can I propose the following? That,
yes.
I will send you the audios of all the interviews that were this week. And you can address a written response. We will even publish it on our Facebook page. It's just that I've got you here, and I want to use this opportunity to answer questions that are coming through on the SMS line. There are so many questions.
Yes.
And as a community organization,
yes,
I think that the Kashrut Department, the UOS, the Beth Din, the Office of the Chief Rabbi, owes the community an answer. And
yes,
let's use this time productively then.
So as I mentioned to
you,
Kathy,
open to that?
I agree with you that our community needs engagement. And I'm so happy. I would have liked to have been on, as you know, on Monday morning or yesterday morning, so I could have answered the questions and even been online when companies call in so we can have a constructive discussion. I believe, once again, that for me, kosher is about transparency. Kosher is about community, and kosher is about engagement. And I am so happy to engage with our community on this platform, as I've offered to you. I'm happy to come on air even weekly, and for you to take questions and for us to answer them openly and to engage with our community.
But I think you're very selective in what you engage with, though. You know, selective. When the community asks for your financials, you know, you won't engage the community on that. Why doesn't, you know, as a community service organization, we're hearing about retrenchments, we're hearing about financial difficulties, but there's no way to prove that because nobody's seen the financials. Why don't you release your financials?
I think that's such an important question, Kathy.
Yeah.
And as I said, I'm so happy to address that, but I would like to focus today, on a right to reply to the 5 or 6 callers, actually 7 after Howard Saxteen this morning's discussion on discussing those issues.
So you're not going to answer the question about the financials, which would just be a quick short answer. Yes, we will.
I'm very happy to engage with you, as I say, even on a weekly basis, to come on air, to engage with the listeners, with our community, to actually have a discussion with our community. Let's move on.
You're not willing to do it. Okay. Message from Ansan said, why does he not address the cost of kosher foods? So let's talk about that increase that went out to manufacturers. You've got 650 of them or 660 of them.
Yes.
600 of them are large manufacturers or manufacturers. They received notification of price increases, 600 and 700% in September last year. How is that justified?
Thank you. I'd really like to address this point, so thank you. I want to explain to the community that we've effectively got two different divisions or departments within BD Kosher. We have what we call the food services or establishments. Those are approximately the 50 restaurants, butchers, bakers, caterers that we certify. And then we have approximately 600 industrial or manufacturing plants in South Africa, many of which, most of which, are medium to large businesses, the likes of Unilever, Nestle, Tiger Brands, etc. So we need to separate these two issues, and we need to discuss the fees for each of them clearly and transparently. So firstly, if we discuss our food services, those are essential services to our community. You need a loaf of bread that is kosher certified. You need kosher wine. You need to be able to your local butcher and buy kosher meat. And all those 50 food services, we in fact subsidize. One of your callers that you had on air, Mrs. Godley, Lana Godley from Frangelica's, spoke about the cost of running a kosher, bakery and confectionery to the community. And our fee to, and I want to clear this up, our fee to Frangelica's is under 5,000 rand a month. It is true that she has to have a mashgiach there, which we do not partake at all in that fee. That is a fee which goes directly to the mashgiach for their time supervising. They are employees, in fact, of Frangelica's, of the organization, and all those food services we heavily subsidized. In other words, what I am saying is that the cost of us supervising, inspecting, and administering and supporting all those food services, we subsidize. And under 5,000 rand a month for the size of a Frangelica's, we subsidize. And we believe, and it is our mission, to get to a point to subsidize those food services even further. Because we believe that the Jewish community, the kosher community of South Africa, should have the opportunity to be able to eat affordable and reasonable and quality kosher food. So that's the 50 food services.
Okay.
If we talk of, if we talk about our manufacturing part of our organization, the 600 or so companies that we certify in the manufacturing space. So as I mentioned, the majority of them are medium to large businesses. And we took a decision approximately two and a half years ago that the cost of certification for these factories is negligible for them per product, to the point where the South African Jewish community does not pay one extra cent to eat kosher food. A case in point is I went with my family to the Kruger Park after Pesach, and I went literally at 4 a.m. It's one of my happy places, as I'm sure it is to many of our fellow South Africans and listeners. And I left straight after Pesach, so I didn't have any time to buy any kosher food. The only thing I had in my freezer was some kosher meat. I put that meat in my boot, and I drove down to Nelspruit, what a beautiful part of the world, and I stopped at the Nelspruit Super Spa. I'm sure many people can picture exactly where that is. I then went around Nelspruit Super Spa. By the way, they had boxes.
Sorry,
boxes,
Rabbi, we are really running out of time. So if we could maybe just keep to the topic. There's so many questions coming through. Thanks.
Sure. So as I say, I avail myself to our listeners as much as they wish to engage. But I went to spa and I went and filled up my trolley with kosher food. And I chose a kosher tomato sauce and a kosher cheese and kosher crackers and kosher bread. And I filled up as every South African and every Jewish South African does. And the price of the kosher product, let's call it tomato sauce, or kube-baked beans, or the top deck chocolate, is the exact same price as the non-kosher variant. It does not cost, in our 600 manufacturers, anything extra to produce the kosher line and non-kosher line. And so African Jewry is incredibly lucky. We've probably got the highest percentage per capita of kosher food available at the exact same price as non-kosher. You can go to any store anywhere in this country and buy kosher products. And let me explain to you why that is. Because the negligible fee that manufacturers pay us, let's say the likes of these 600 companies, for them, each product, it costs them a nanocent to be kosher. It doesn't even add 1 cent onto their products. That's the majority of our manufacturing companies. And this was a decision we took. We took a decision that we do not wish to tax the community. We took a decision that we do not wish to burden the community and become another communal organization that requires the community's charity to survive. We are a self-sustaining organization which ensures that we can supply kosher food to our community, because that's what we exist to do, at, for the vast majority of products, no extra cost.
All right. So just a quick calculation. If you've got 600 manufacturers and each one is paying you 5,000 rand, that's 3 million rand a month. You know, it's nice that you're self-sustaining. So is Chai FM. We still have an obligation to release financials, and so do you, especially as a non-profit organization. You've told me previously that you can't, because it's in your constitution that you can't. I've actually been through your constitution twice, and it says nowhere there that you cannot release financials. But anyhow, all right. So do you eat chicken, by the way? Do you like chicken?
Yes, I love chicken.
Okay, so let's make a chicken. Okay, I do want to actually just see if I'm right in my thinking on this. Okay, so if we get let's do a little experiment, right? So let's get some chicken pieces, right? Kosher chicken pieces.
Kathy, you have to do it slow, because I'm not so good at math.
Okay, no worries.
Just do it, so maybe you can draw it out for me. Just let's do.
Okay, so let me give you the ingredients. Right. So we get our chicken pieces. We've got cornflakes that we're going to put into our blender. We've got mayonnaise. We're going to coat our chicken in the mayonnaise, dip it in the cornflakes, and put it into the oven. We're going to have oil. We're going to use paprika, pepper, and salt. Right. It's very simple, and it's absolutely delicious. I assure you. Very quick. Very quick. Right. Okay. But But now let's break it down. So that chicken, there's a shechting fee, there's a kashering fee, there's a butchery fee, there's the payment for the sticker, there's also the kosher certificate, the certification that the butchery will have to pay, right? Then the cornflakes, they are paying for the Beth Din kosher certification. The mayonnaise are paying for the Beth Din kosher certification. The oil, the same thing. They need to be kosher certified. They pay the Beth Din. The paprika, paying the kosher certification fee. The pepper, also, and as well as the salt. That means for those pieces of chicken that we are going to eat, probably with nothing else because we can't afford anything else on our plate, is 11 payments are going to the Beth Din.
Exactly.
11 payments are being made to the Beth Din for you and me and our chicken. And if we invite a third person, we'll have to pay the Beth Din, you know, a catering fee. So where does the money go?
Let me start off. Thank you, Kia. I actually enjoy talking to you. We could have spent a bit more time together. But let me start off. We got some very exciting news, you know, that we are about to share at the beginning of lockdown regarding the catering fee. I think lockdown smashed us all, and look out the next couple of weeks to that. So let's move the catering fee aside, because you're having three people, not just the two of you.
Yeah, right.
let's now take chicken for a second. And I think that to give a fair discussion around chicken, I would like an entire slot for that, because we need to explain the input costs, all those fees that you mentioned. Where do those fees go? How are they calculated? Who is required to ensure that a chicken is kosher? And what is the value chain? You know, how does it start off and how does it end? And let us also do an examination of chicken prices, kosher chicken versus non-kosher chicken prices internationally. I think that's a very valuable exercise. And again, right. I'm so happy to discuss with you.
Okay, let's good. We're going to do this tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to do this again. Same time, same place. Because there's lots of stuff. There are so many questions, and we're just not coming through. And today, you just wanted to address the companies.
Let's book off the next month. I'm so excited. I'm enjoying speaking.
Tomorrow, 8:30, you are going to be speaking to me again. Please. No, seriously, there really are a lot of issues, and I think that it's very, very important. There are so many messages. They're coming in from all over the world.
Can I ask you a favor? Please, can we save every message? Let's get through every single one.
No.
Let's speak to every person, Kathy. Let people call in. Let them. I'd love to talk to our community about this. I'm so passionate about it. I live for this.
But you've got to address the things that they want addressed. And I think that at some point you also need to acknowledge that, because, you know, do you find it ironic that, you know, people who, like, for example, Farfields, where the products that are on shelves...
The
products that are on shelves when they were certified kosher a month ago, however long, are not kosher anymore. And yet, for 4 years, we all ate treif chickens, and there's been no consequences. There've been no consequences, and we need to address that, because that speaks to credibility of the kosher department. And it's very, very important.
I think it's so important.
Okay, so let's do that tomorrow. 8:30.
Let's talk after the show so I can look at our time, but I'd love to engage with our community. I absolutely think this is pivotal, and the more we can engage and the more we can talk, the more clarity will come out. We'll set the record straight, and I think our community will come out of this feeling very different to the way that some of them have got in. And I just...
All right. And answer my question. Do you find it ironic? Do you find it ironic?
I think it needs a full discussion.
We're out of time. Rabbi Dovi.
Oh, Kathy.
Yes, I know. You wanted this to go on all day, but we'll speak tomorrow. Please, God. All right.
Kathy.
Thank you so much. That's Rabbi Dovi Goldstein. He is the managing director of the Kashrut department, and I'm going to try my best to wrangle him on tomorrow.